and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the
faith
kingdom.
Must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, let's give God praise. Glorify the name of the Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Glorify the name of the Lord this morning. We exalt you, we adore you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things happen. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of my soul. It's all about you.
Amen.
confess that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and your mercies are new every morning. Be magnified in our lives, be magnified in our businesses, in our families, in our finances, in everything we lay our hands to, God, be magnified. We give you praise. Be magnified. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. I want to talk to you about something this morning. We don't have too much time, so I'll see how fast I can go. Luke chapter 5, from verse 1. Look at this. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus Christ now, they were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. The Bible says he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Verse 2. I saw two ships standing by the lake. I want you to watch this thing very carefully. See what is happening here now. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were not in the ships anymore, and they were washing their nets. So look at what next happened. Verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. This is Peter. Before he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, he was called Simon. So Jesus entered into one of the boats there. And asked him, he begged him, he said, please move out from the land. Let's go. Go to some distance. You know. I've been to this particular place where Jesus Christ, where this happened. He showed us the place in that lake. Exact spot where Jesus Christ preached this message. I saw it. I stood there. Now he had to move in to the lake because there's a lake just beside it, and then the hills go up like this. Whenever sound moves up, because I used to wonder, how was Jesus able to speak to 5,000 people? How was he able to speak to all those thousands of people? And when I got to that place, I understood it very well. The Bible became real to me in many areas. When you're speaking, particularly when you are in a valley or you're down, particularly beside a lake or something, you're somewhere and then your audience goes up. Usually, where the wind, the breeze carries a person's word. The breeze carries the word when you speak. It carries the word up so that people can stay. You can have up to 10,000 people. If you position yourself properly, without a microphone, that breeze, as the breeze is going up, cooling the air, it carries the words and amplifies the sound. So that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He knew that was what he was supposed to do. So he pushed himself out, asked Peter, draw me, put me into the lake, just a little, not too much, into the lake. So that when I speak, the breeze that comes from the lake, from the sea, will carry my word and move it up to the people. So everybody just lined up and they were listening to what he was saying. And the Bible says he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now watch this. Everybody, let's read verse 4 together. I want to go. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Circle that word in your Bible, nets. You see, it's in the plural. It's in the plural. Circle nets. He said, let down your nets for a catch, a draught, a massive catch. Verse 5. Luke chapter 5. Watch this now. Let's read it together. Everybody read verse 5 together. I want to go. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Go back. Peter's response is highly commendable. Because this man was a fisherman. Jesus was not a fisherman. The man with his professional experience, how many years of fishing? He had toiled all night and he wasn't even able to catch one fish. Behold, a carpenter comes up and tells a fisherman to go back to the water to collect more fish, that he's going to catch fish. Peter responded in faith, because sometimes, of course, many times, what makes faith doesn't make sense, and what makes sense doesn't make faith. I have been toiling all night. I did not catch anything. And you're asking me to go back to the same place. And of course, you know, just in case you don't know, I'm a fisherman. I realized that the best time to catch fish is at night.
Because the fish will come up to the surface of the water. It is usually cooler. But now here you are in broad daylight asking me to go and catch fish. The sun has come out. The water on top will be very hot. So the fish are supposed to go down inside. Which fish can I catch? But Peter did not question his experience. He decided to obey the word of God. He said, I've toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. Someone say, nevertheless, at thy word. I want to hear your voice. Say, nevertheless, at thy word. Someone say, nevertheless, at thy word. You know, that's why God places high premium on children. He places high premium on children. He says, except you be converted and be like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You know why? There are several things that children have. For example, one of such things is that children have humility. Children are very humble. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Little kids are very humble. They can associate with everybody. It's as they start growing up, circumstances, environments, and possibly their parents start poisoning their minds and giving them an understanding of class consciousness and all kinds of things. Normally, they just play with everybody. They're very humble. Another thing that you see about little children is that they have faith. They can trust very easily. I can go back home like this now. My little daughter, one of them, will just probably jump from the chair and just jump on me. Whether I'm looking at her or not, she's ready to jump. As far as she's concerned, there's no way she can be in the air and daddy will not catch her. Are you following what I'm talking about? Whether I'm looking at her or not, she's not interested in that one. I've had a fight with in primary school before. When I was in primary school, I had a serious fight with one of my classmates. Of course, a number of them. Because he did call my father a liar. One of those days, my father came back from a trip. I asked him how he came back. He said, I should look up. I looked up. He said, can I see that plane passing? I said, yes, there was a plane passing. He said, he just came down from that plane now. I said, this plane. He said, eh. I said, how do you come? He said, he jumped. I said, eh? He said, he jumped. I went to school, started boasting about my dad. I said, my father can jump from planes. Where can your father jump from? It was not sensible, but the point is that because my father said it, it was so. Are you following what I'm talking about now? So that's the condition Peter found himself. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. But unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. Because he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down what? The net, singular, circle it. Jesus said, let down the nets. The man said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. A lot of you think that you obey God in some cases, and you finish obeying him, and you have not seen the manifestation of what you are looking for. The point many times is not at the point of acting on the word. It is at the point of interpreting what you have heard. Because in between the revelation and the application is the interpretation. A wrong interpretation will lead to a wrong application. Half obedience is equivalent to disobedience. Jesus said, let down your nets. The man said, Lord, you have spoken. Therefore, I will obey you and let down my net. Is that what Jesus said to him? Give us the next verse. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Verse 7. Watch this now. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, they filled both the ships with fish. And guess what? Of course, as the ships were sinking, because the ships were sinking into water, apparently they lost some of their harvest. So what was the problem here? I want to talk to you this morning about 12 keys to expanding your world. What you get in life is dependent on the size of your world. What you get in life is equivalent to the amount of accommodation you have set apart for that harvest. The moment your capacity ends, your harvest stops. Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 1. Sing, O barren. So, look at the situation now. An unproductive person. Probably you have no job. Possibly you're not married. Nothing seems to be working for you. You lay your hands on different things and nothing seems to be working. That's the condition of a barren person. Because barrenness doesn't necessarily mean only childlessness, as in physical, biological children. Biological childlessness. Not necessarily. Any form of barrenness, any form of unproductivity is what, because principles are parallel. If it can affect this, it can affect every other thing. So he says, sing, O barren. So what is the first thing I should do when I find myself in a condition of unproductivity? It is to sing. It is to give God thanks. It is to give God praise. Because the moment I thank him, even if I've not seen what I'm thanking him for, I have obligated him to perform. Because God will never take glory for what he does not do. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? So he says, sing, O barren. Because a lot of people, the first thing they do is they find themselves in a condition and they begin to complain. After all, I paid my tithes. They said I should pay Nehemiah. I paid Nehemiah. How come this thing is not working? Now, you don't realize that the same energy it takes you to complain is the energy you can put into thanking God, into thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude that will determine your altitude. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? The same energy I invest in complaining, the same energy I invest in murmuring, these are the things I can use to thank God. So he says the first thing to do is when you are in a state of crisis or unproductivity, sing, O barren. Thou that is not bare. He said, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that is not travail with child. Why? For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, said the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? I see your unproductivity turning around in the name of Jesus Christ. All those doors that were locked against you are opening in the name of Jesus Christ. Just have thanksgiving in your mouth. That's the first key. Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you praise. I glorify your name. Begin to thank him right now. Begin to give him praise. Just glorify the name of the Lord. I thank you for my life. I thank you because I'm not in hospital. There are those that are in hospital now. There are those that are in the mortuary. I thank you because I'm not like them. I'm not there. I thank you. It's not by my power. It's not by my might. It's because of your goodness. Thank you for my job. It might not be what I'm looking for, but definitely I know that there are others that don't have any jobs. I want to thank you for them, oh God. Thank you because I'm not sick. Thank you because I'm completely whole. Thank you because I ate yesterday. Some people have not eaten. Thank you because I have two legs to walk on. Some people don't have any legs at all. Thank you, Father. I give you praise. Glorify his name right now. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Now watch this. After you have finished singing, after you have done praising the Lord, always praising the Lord, always praising the Lord with all my heart. Sing it now. Praising the Lord with all my heart, always. Hallelujah. 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 He's good to me. Nobody praises like the African church. We are experts at praising. And unfortunately, we are not experts at doing what follows praising. Because after praising, he says, the next thing, enlarge the place of your tents. It's time for action. You finish praising and leaving everything for God, and you're not ready to take the next step to begin to move, forget that harvest, you will not see it. He said, enlarge the place of your tent. It is not God's responsibility to enlarge your capacity. It is your responsibility to do so. The size of your world is dependent on the size of your mind. It's not God that's going to enlarge it. I want to show you how to expand your capacity. He said, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. He said, spare not. Don't try and be economical with your capacity. Are you hear what I'm talking about now? Extend all the space that's available. Demand the very best from yourself. And demand the very best for yourself. Are you hear what I'm talking about now? Nothing is too big for you. Are you hearing me now? I don't know about you, but I tell myself nothing is too big for me. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Others that are doing it, how many heads do they have? Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy sticks. That is, fortify yourself. As you're expanding your capacity, develop a structure to fortify yourself. So by the time that thing comes, it won't knock you off. A lot of people can be believing God for a certain level of prosperity and abundance that they will never see. Why? Because they are not internally fortified. If God allows you reap that particular harvest you're believing in for, that harvest can make you backslide. There's some people that do it. You know how he said, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In other words, the financial prosperity I'm supposed to enjoy is meant to be directly commensurate with my spiritual prosperity. Are you following what I'm talking about? As I rise inside, then the other one is supposed to rise to match. That's part of fortifying yourself. There are some men that God will have no qualms at all about giving any amount of money tomorrow. He won't even bother. Because the biggest limitations people have are not external limitations, they are all internal conditions. If you are bound by mammon, for example, it's a factor that's inside. And you're busy looking for who to bind outside, one witch that is in your village that is stopping harvest from coming your way. No witch is big enough to sit down on your harvest. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. The biggest enemy you have is inside you. It's talking about fortifying yourself on the inside, correcting the anomalies on the inside. A wise man said, quoting a particular African proverb, I think it's from Kenya or something, the proverb. If there is no enemy within, the enemy without can do us no harm. So Jesus said that the biggest enemies the person will find are those of his household. It doesn't necessarily translate to your family members. It could be inside your own personal household, you yourself. Verse 3. Watch this now. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand. Anyone I say that you like, I want you to say amen. I said, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. 12 keys to expanding your world. I'll see how far we can go, how many we can cover. I want to see if I can do justice to about 5. If I can go to 7, we'll see. Let's go. Number 1, information. Information. The first key to expanding your world. Now, I'm not following them in order of priorities. This is the first key I'm mentioning. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the most important key. The others are equally important. But expanding your information base. There's some people that cannot be rich. There's some people that will not expand. No matter how many prophecies you put over their head. When you see a person that devalues information, he doesn't place premium on information. You have seen somebody that can't go very far in life. Because by acquiring information that other people have at their disposal, what I am doing is I am getting their experience and their wisdom to work for me. When I buy a book by Kenneth Hagin, for example, and I hold it in my hand, and I'm reading it, it's a book on faith, for example, maybe the faith Bible study guide or something, or Bible study course. What I'm holding in my hand is a condensed version of over 60 years of a person's experience and wisdom on the subject of faith. So a wise man said, learn from others. Learn from the mistakes of others. Because you will not live long enough to make all of them by yourself. So So when you see a man who doesn't value information, you've seen a man that can't make progress. It's a simple matter. It's a very simple matter. There's no this thing there. When you see a man that doesn't value information, you have seen a man that has already determined the extent to which God will use him. Because when a person has a parochial mindset, he's not an accommodating person. There are certain things that he can have in his spirit that cannot be translated. Then he might know these things in his heart. There are some men of God that possibly are, you know, they are called of God, have the anointing, have the information, have what the revelation from God. But now, their ability to translate it to help others now becomes a problem because of the level of their thinking and level of their education. Look at someone like Peter, for example. Look at what the Bible said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. God gave an instruction to the disciples and the early church. He said to them, "Tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in..." Look at this. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now you see what these people did. They began to preach. They preached up to Jerusalem, preached up to Judea, and they were talking only to the Jews. They didn't even get to Samaria, because in their minds the Samaritans were a lower caste. They were lower than them. In their parochial thinking, they didn't believe that God would think outside the box. As far as they were concerned, salvation was only for the Jews. It was not supposed to be for the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were half Jews. There were some Jews that were left behind in one of those times when the children of Israel were sent on exile. They went on exile. So there were some Jews that were left behind. Now, these Jews began to intermarry with Gentiles. And a lot of these Gentiles got them involved in idol worship and all kinds of things. So because of that intermingling, you know, their Judaism, their faith was mixed. So the Jews stopped associating with them. But Jesus Christ came to produce salvation for the whole world. Are you following what I'm talking about now? His disciples did not understand it. He tried a lot to communicate to them. Some of them, they just couldn't get it. Jesus Christ came for everybody, not just the Jews and the Gentiles. They couldn't relate to it. So they preached the gospel and stopped there. One other time, God now had to allow persecution break out against the church. Stephen was killed in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And then a lot of people started running around going to preach the gospel. They took off and went in different directions. Philip finally went to preach the gospel and he got to Samaria. This is Philip that they had ordained a deacon and caged him inside church to be serving bread and tea. The guy escaped, took off to Samaria, and he preached, and he conquered the whole city. According to, you know, historians tell us that Samaria was a 200,000, it was populated by about 200,000 people at the time. The man took the whole place. But that was not the end. Shortly after, in Acts chapter 10, I don't have all the time to read it, Acts chapter 10, you see that God Almighty revealed himself to Cornelius. Cornelius was praying, a centurion. He was a Roman. These are people that you call Gentiles, because before, in those days, all of us were called Gentiles. There are only three classes of men recognized in the Bible. Only three classes. You have the Jews, you have the Gentiles, and you have the church. So you have people that are in the church that were once Jews. You have people that are in the church that were once Gentiles. But any person that is not born again today is a Gentile. He's outside the covenant. He has no rights to God. Ephesians chapter 2 says he's without God. He's without hope in this world. That's the condition we found ourselves in. So Jesus Christ died so that the gospel can also be extended to us. Now, these people sat down on it. They refused. Now, an angel was now sent to Cornelius, because Cornelius loved God, but he had no access to him. He didn't know how to reach him, as he was busy waiting on the true God, saying, "Lord, anyhow you are, I don't know how to get through to you. Help me send someone that can show me who you are." An angel appeared to him, said, "Oh yeah, send some men down to Joppa. There's a man called Simon Peter. He's living in the house of Simon, a tanner. Send for him. He's going to show you what to do in order to receive salvation." At that time, let me show you what happened. Open Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. Open your Bibles, Acts chapter 10. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. From verse 9. On the morrow, as the next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near unto the city, and Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Watch this now. And he became very hungry as he was praying. And he would have eaten, but they had not prepared the food. So while they were still making the food, the man fell into a trance. Look at verse 11. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. He saw something like a big bed sheet that came down from heaven in a vision, in a trance. And inside it, he saw all kinds of things. You know, we were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. All kinds of things. All kinds of food, snakes, all kinds of things. Pork, all kinds of things. And then God said to him, because of time, let me just tell you. God said to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Arise, kill these animals and eat them. Peter said, not so, Lord. No. For since I was born, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, this thing happened three times, and Peter gave the same response. Every time it happened, he said, no, Lord, not so, Lord. In other words, he knew it was God that was talking to him. God said, do this. The man said, no, not so. Revelation was coming, but it was conflicting with his information base. So there was a clash. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? He could not relate with what he knew. He could not relate with what he was told. How can God be interested in me eating this thing when they commanded me not to? He didn't understand it. Now, if you read further, what happened was that Jesus, God now said to him, listen, don't call anything I have cleansed common. Now, let me tell you why I'm sending you this vision. There are some men that are at your gate now. They came from a man called Cornelius. Follow them and don't ask any questions. Don't doubt them. I sent them. Just follow them. So Peter got up, saw the men. They passed the night with him, and the next day they took off to go and see Cornelius. They eventually got to see Cornelius, if you read the whole story, up to verse 48. They eventually went to see Cornelius. When they saw Cornelius, Peter said, I've come now. He said, God appeared to me, so I should come and see you. You know that usually we Jews don't deal with people like you. So now, tell me what you want me to do. Talk, let me hurry up and get out of here. Cornelius said, see what happened though. So and so day, how many days ago, I was praying, an angel appeared to me, said I should send for you. Peter now said, I perceive that God is not partial. He has given everybody an opportunity to be saved. And he began to preach. While he was preaching to the man, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost went before him, fell on all the Gentiles there that had received the word of God, and they all began to speak in tongues. Peter said, All the people that came with Peter, they were shocked. They said, Peter now said, if the Holy Ghost has gone before us and given these people Holy Ghost baptism, who are we now to keep salvation from them? Who are we to keep water baptism? In other words, he was even thinking about keeping water baptism from them. See, if the Holy Ghost has gone ahead now and filled these people, who are we to keep this thing from them? They went and baptized them. Look at katakata that now burst in Acts chapter 15. By the time he got back, the whole people gathered together and said, we heard you went to this people to go and eat with them and associate with them. God was just watching. Because he saw that even though he was talking, their information level was resisting his program. They could not relate to what he was saying. Even after all the things that happened, Peter had to finish explaining to them. Even after all those things, look at Acts chapter 11. Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, verse 19. After everything that happened, look at this. After everything, after the fact that they got the message, after everything, they just couldn't handle it. The Bible says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto who? But unto who? After all the things that happened, they still went back. It's only the Jews that were preaching to. God shook his head, said, I'm through with these people. I can't communicate. I can't break through. You know, there's something about a mold. When somebody's trapped in a mold, sometimes you need to shatter that mold if you want to get to that person. God said, these people have not. The next two chapters, he now manifested himself. He said, now separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work one to have called them. These are the ones that will touch the Gentiles. Because by the time you have Apostle Paul, if you see what Paul's information base was not the same thing with these people's on. He could accommodate, he could touch all the people that God wanted him to touch. He could operate at a frequency. This man was trained by Gamaliel, the best lawyer in his time. He was a Roman citizen that spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, and he spoke Greek. If you see all the things, apart from that, he was also a Pharisee. He was highly trained. Now, does it mean that God cannot use a person if the person is not educated or the person lacks information? No, not necessarily. Remember, I'm talking about information, not education. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, sometimes even that education can be a problem for God, because somebody can put it above God. But education in its place will help you serve God properly. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Information is a way of expanding your world. God just carried the whole thing, because he was actually, probably it was Peter he had a mind for. If he ended up in Paul's hands, Paul now became the apostle to the Gentiles, preaching to everybody, winning all the souls he won. And that's why you find 3/4 of the New Testament, this book you're carrying, New Testament, 3/4 of it written by Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Even after all those years, there are some things that Peter still could not relate with. Look at 2 Peter. The man still couldn't even match some things that were coming from Paul. God consigned the man. The only place that Peter could talk to, the only people he could talk to were the Jews. He couldn't go beyond that. But Paul will finish, he will speak in front of Agrippa. He will speak to Governor Festus. He will finish, he will speak to Felix. He will go and talk to Nero. Peter never had an opportunity to do that. Possibly if he had gotten to the emperor, before he opened his mouth, they would assess him and even remove his head. Look at 2 Peter. Part of the problems we have in Africa is we place little emphasis on knowledge. If I come here now and tell you, Gwan, that the key to your prosperity is to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. When you finish, go to the nearest cemetery. Walk around it 3 times. As you're walking around it 3 times, you're reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Once you finish, at the end, just get to the gates. When you get to the gate of that cemetery, a man will come and meet you there. And when the man meets you there, he will give you a bag. Inside that bag is the solution to all your problems. Some people will take off from here. From here, now, as I'm talking now, some of them take off. That's what they'll run and go and do that one. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, God used Peter. I want you to understand that the man was an apostle. But he was limited by what he knew. God tried several times to break through, to use the man to do bigger things, but the man could not just break through. Look at the next one, verse 15. This is Apostle Peter now speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things that are hard to understand. Can you imagine that? Which unthought and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Even at that point, the man still could not relate with some things that the man was talking about. He couldn't relate with them. Help me look at your neighbor. Tell the person, don't joke with information. Tell the person, read a book. Read newspapers. Find out what is happening around you. Tell the person, learn something new. They said, if you want to hide anything from a black man, put it inside a book. He will look everywhere, but he will never open a book. But that is not your testimony in Jesus' name. Can I hear you say amen? When you watch television, what do you watch? What do you learn when you watch? Have a passion for knowledge. Have a hunger for knowledge. Knowledge will expand your base. It will expand your world. It will remove limitations from you. Some of us behave like the ostrich. When an ostrich sees an enemy, you know how the ostrich behaves? You know what the ostrich does? You know what the ostrich does? Eh? You know what the ostrich does? He will run like this. Use his leg and dig open a hole in the ground. Then put his head inside. And cover himself. Cover his head. Because in his mentality, anything I cannot see me. So that enemy, once I can't see that lion that's pursuing me, or that tiger, or that jackal, then that means he can't see me. That's how some of us behave. Anything I can't see me. As a result of that, we assume that what you don't know cannot hurt you. That's the mentality of the ostrich. What I don't know, what I can't see, what I don't know can't have any effect on me. So let me even tell you something, it's true. What you don't know can't hurt you. Because what you don't know will kill you. Let's look at the next one. Let's look at the next one. The next key to expanding your world. What's the next key? Seed. Someone say seed. Someone say seed. S-E-E-D. Say seed. Okay. Put up for me Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Let's read it together. Everybody wants to go. A man's gift makes room for him. Someone say, my gift will make room. What does room mean? Eh? Eh? Talk to me. Space. A man's gift creates expansion for him. A man's gift makes space for him and brings him before great men. Now, if you are wise, what you're supposed to do is this. Whenever you find any person who carries what you want, possibly you're a lawyer, a young lawyer, you just left school or something, and there's somebody you want to be a successful barrister, you want to be one of the movers and shakers in the legal system. We have justices here, we have magistrates. You don't just stay in your place there, tie yourself up in one place. No. And even when you interact with them, you don't go to them to try and get anything from them. What a wise person does is he uses his gift to make way for him. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? A gift is not the same thing with a bribe. I usually say, if you're a student, you have lecturers that you're associating with, don't wait for the day you will have missing scripts. You're going to have problems and you go crying to the man and the man kicks you out of his office. Every now and then, you can see the man on the street, pick his file, pick his folder, pick his bag, help him out, buy him something. Say, sir, after the lecture, I'm sure you're very tired. Can I buy you a bottle of Coke? How much is Coke? Tomorrow is that same person that will fight to defend you. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? A bribe is not a gift. What is a bribe? A bribe is a present that is given to subvert justice. A bribe is when I give something in order to get what I don't deserve, or to block somebody from getting what he deserves and to move it towards mine. That's a bribe. You're perverting justice. When you see a great man, one of the things you should do is this. In any sector of life where you find yourself, find something to do for that person. Find something to give that person. The moment you do it, you find yourself a part of that person's world. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Yes. Think about what you're doing, for example, or think about what you're aspiring to do. Think about what you want to be. What occupation are you in presently? Or what is it that you want to be? Find people that are ahead of you in that. And then walk yourself into their favor. One of the ways to do it is with a seed. Don't wait for the day of calamity before you start looking for the person. That's how it is with God too. You can get yourself endeared to Him with your seed. It's the same principle that works. So the Bible says, honor the Lord, not with your mouth, but with your substance. You honor with substance. You don't honor with your mouth. Okay. Let's move on quickly because of time. Number three. The third way of expanding your world is changing your vision or changing your perspective. When you alter what you see, you alter what you become. You see, your vision, a vision is a mental picture of a preferred future. A mental picture of a better future. One of the things that vision does is that vision gives you energy. Vision gives you strength. The strength with which you function will never exceed your vision. Let me give you a normal example. How many of you here do exercise? Let me see your hands. You do exercise. Possibly on a daily basis. Possibly on a weekly basis. You do exercise. You jog. Or you do press-ups. Or you do something. Let me see your hands. Those of you that don't, you're not well. Your bodies are... You don't know what you're doing to yourself. Those of you that don't, you need to start an exercise regimen. Whatever it is, every day, try and do something to exercise your muscles. Engage yourself. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Some of you are not well. Particularly in this kind of medical system that we have in Nigeria. If something happens to you now, you say it's a witch that did it. Anyway, yes, let me see your hand. If you're involved in any kind of exercise, let me see your hand. Okay, okay, come. Come and tell me, what kind of exercise do you do? And how often do you do it? Tell me. He said he plays football. How often do you play football?
Once in a week.
What other exercise do you do? Maybe to warm yourself up, to get ready for football or something. You jog. Give me an idea of how long you jog.
Like 5-15 minutes.
5-15 minutes. Okay. Okay, give me an idea of the distance you can jog. The longest distance you can jog. From here now. Yes.
So, this is Azar Road. From here to Azar Road.
From here to Azar Road. That's the only thing junction. You can jog. The junction. Let me close my mouth. Okay. Have you ever done press-ups before? How many can you do? You do up to 20. Okay. No, 20 is not bad. Some of you are laughing at him. You can't do 2. If you try and do 2 now, your biceps might expire on the road. So the man does 20, which is not bad. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? You know part of why it's not bad? Because I do 22 every day. Minimum of 20. Anyway, see, let me ask you a question. Did you start with 20? How many did you start with? He said he started with 5. You wake up in the morning and you decide you will do 5 press-ups. Am I correct now? By the time you do the first one, it's easy for you. You do the second one. Your vision is 5. You do the third one. It's easy for you. By the time you start getting towards 4, how do you start feeling? You start feeling tired. By the time you get to the 5th one, your body is shaking like this. You're going like this. It's as if you will never finally get there. Your body is vibrating like someone that has epilepsy till you finally get. Now, he sets 5 press-ups. By the time he gets to 4, he starts getting tired. But when you revised it and you moved it to about 10, when did you start getting tired?
From 7.
When you moved it to 15, when did you start getting tired? From 13. Now you're at 20. When do you usually start getting tired? from 18. Have you seen that the more the distance you set for yourself, the longer your energy span? Have you noticed that now? Your vision determines your energy level. And the same way it determines your energy level, it determines the resources that are at your disposal at every point in time. God bless you. That's the way it works. My energy level will not exceed the picture I have. The strength I have, because if I have a picture, even if I don't have the strength, and I look at myself, I look at that picture, I look at the vision, I'm still far from where I am supposed to be. I pick up energy from somewhere. Has it ever happened to anybody here before? You are reading for an exam, for example, and you know that the exam, you read and you get tired. But you now look, you're a student, you look, and you know that tomorrow you have the exam by 9 a.m. I have not covered anything. Energy comes from somewhere, doesn't it? Well, I was in UNN many years ago, political science department. One of those days, PCJ paid a visit to UNN and he stayed with me in my room, in my house. And then I was talking. I told him, I had an exam the next day. Okay, sorry, it wasn't the next day, it was in about a week or so. And then, you know, we used to hold programs, go for meetings, go for crusades, do all those things. You're holding programs, you're doing ministry, you don't have time to read your book. I told him that this thing is not even, I don't have any passion for this book again. All these books, all these studies. He just kept quiet. He said, looked at me, he said, I said, I have no passion. Passion has gone. I don't see it. He said, okay, when is your exam? I told him, next Monday. He said, don't worry, the passion will come back on Sunday. Just before the exam starts, the passion will come back. Once you set a vision for yourself, you have a picture of what you intend to accomplish. Energy usually comes from somewhere. What you need to do is, on a regular basis, keep on revising your picture. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Keep on revising that vision. Keep on extending the boundaries of your picture. Keep on expanding the things that you believe are possible for you. Are you hearing me now? Because when you now see that picture, you believe that that thing is possible. It becomes so easy. It's a very easy thing to do. They said that the most powerful nation in the world is not the United Kingdom. The most powerful nation in the world is not the United States. The most powerful nation in the world is not even the European Union. Old Roman Empire. You know what the most powerful nation in the world is? It's your imagination. With your imagination, you can create anything. And your imagination is a very powerful element of your future, because your life will always move in the direction of your strongest pictures. Your life will always go in the direction of that picture that is brightest in your heart. So if the picture you have in your heart is that of failure, no prayer can stop you from failing. If the picture you have is the picture of insufficiency, no person, no prophecy can stop you from being insufficient. So one of the first things that God does before he uses anybody is he attempts to change the person's paradigm, changes the person's perspective, changes the person's vision. Help me look at your neighbor one more time. Ask the person for me, what can you see? How many of you see death? You see yourself dying before time? If you see yourself dying before time, wave your hands. So we can help you buy the coffin. But if you see yourself making it, let me see your hands right now. You see yourself making it. You see yourself, you see that you're too loaded to be consumed. Let me see your hands. You see that the path of the just is as a shining light that is shining more and more unto the perfect day. And that is your portion. And you can see it. Let me see your hands. That's the way it is. Look at the next key to expanding your world. Your confession. Your confession. Mike Murdoch said, you cannot get to the palace talking like a peasant. You must watch what you say, because your confession will attract what you're saying. Whatever you say it has the power to bring. So there's no, don't say anything like accidental discharge. Or you say something and you say, that God knows I don't mean it. Nobody knows that you don't mean it. The angels of God don't know you don't mean it. The devil doesn't know you don't mean it. So say what you mean and mean what you say. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Watch your confession. Don't be careless. Don't use stupid slangs. Somebody sees a car. There's somebody that I know like that. He says, this car is killing me. As he's trying to say he likes the car. This car is killing me. Somebody dresses well. Say the person is, you want to say the person is looking fine. Say you're too deaf. You're too deaf. I'm not deaf. Don't call me deaf. Say you're looking deaf. How can I be looking deaf? It's a slang. Someone comes to you and says, I like your crib. I don't live in a crib. You know what the crib is? You know what the crib is? I don't live in a crib. I live in a house. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And I'm not going to use my mouth and turn my house to a crib before my landlord kicks me out. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And I go and find a crib on the road. I don't live in a crib. You might not see it, but I live in a mansion. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? You might not see it, but I'm loaded. Are you hear what I'm talking about? I'm loaded. I'm too loaded to fail. When you're saying you're loaded, it's not because the money is there. Are you hear what I'm talking about? Sometimes the money is not there. But as you're opening your mouth and making that confession, you're like Ezekiel that prophesied to the dry bones. And the dry bones began to find themselves from the valley. Are you hear what I'm talking about now? As you're speaking it, now situations are arranging in your favor. Can I hear you say amen? Who is too much here? Who is too much? Let me see your hand. Who is too much? Who is too much? Say, I'm loaded. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I cannot fail. If you're born again, say, I'm the new creation. And the potential of the new creation is success. Therefore, I cannot fail. Say, God has not created the first failure. Therefore, I am not a failure. Say, I am the head and not the tail. Hey, if that is you, can I hear you say amen? The good things are meant for me. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Say it now. Say. Good things are supposed to happen to me. I am the head and not the tail. I am moving forward. I'm not going backward. All those that have ganged up against me are working for my favor. You know the power of confession. When you see Ephesians chapter 6, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible speaks about the weapons of our warfare. Have you seen that before? There are about 7 weapons of our warfare. All of those weapons are defensive weapons. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals that are shod for the spreading of the gospel, and all those things, the belt of truth. Now, there is only one that is an offensive weapon. It is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You grab that word and you engage the devil. Begin to cut him. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? You use your confession and begin to cut down everything the devil has taken from you. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. The Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, I land the gates of hell. Any of my possessions the devil has taken by mistake, I grab him by the neck. I say, surrender. And he gives it up. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Say, I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm seated far above principalities and powers. Good things are happening to me. This week, good things are coming my way. This week, people are responding to me. This week, I see the complete manifestation of all I've been praying for. The seeds I've been sowing. My Nehemiah project. I place a demand on my seed and I cough up my harvest right now. I'm getting the harvest in the name of Jesus. My family is turning around. Everything that God has said concerning me is coming to pass. I am a blessing. I'm not a curse. That husband is coming my way. He's searching me out now. He's looking for me. That wife is looking. She's around me somewhere. Circumstances are engaging themselves and connecting. And she's around me somewhere. The magnetic pull is pulling her my way. You're believing God for a child. Follow the principles of expanding your world. Carry a pillow if you're a woman. Put the pillow under your distance and go and stand in front of the mirror. Pose in front of the mirror and see how it feels to be pregnant. Are you what I'm talking about now? Just begin to walk like this. Are you what I'm talking about? Begin to walk like this. Say, is this how it feels to carry twins? Start calling yourself Mami Jima. Start calling yourself Iyabeji. Are you what I'm talking about now? These are principles, they work. Write a check for yourself. Put 1 million naira, put 10 million naira, whatever level you're looking for, put it there, put your name and paste it on your mirror. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Every morning you stand, change your vision, change your vision, change your vision. Your paycheck is about to change. Can I hear you say amen? Hey! I said your paycheck is about to change. Can I hear you say amen? That's how it works. I changed my vision to start believing God for people to be giving, for me to be able to get 5,000 naira and call it a harvest many years ago. I changed my vision to make it 20. Changed my vision to make it 30, make it 50. Changed my vision to make it 100. Changed my vision to make it 500. Changed my vision to make it 1 million. And it has continued. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. It's been going on that way. Help me ask your neighbor, what can you see? Then ask the person, what are you saying? Let's hurry up because of time. How many have I given you now? 4. Look at another key to expanding your world. Networking. 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 Expanding your relationships. Connecting to people of like minds. Taking advantage of social capital. Networking. Networking. Remember that everything that is achievable is transferable. When you talk to the right people, they have a way of expanding your mind. I was telling a story one time. One of those days, one time I traveled. I went outside the country. I saw some people. That was, I was having a discussion with them. And about two of them were just talking about how, we're talking about the medical system in Nigeria. And from there, he started talking about how, one talked about how his first daughter, they gave birth to her in Texas, in America. The other one was talking about how his daughter was, his son was born in Oklahoma. They were saying all the ones they were saying. And you see the way these people are saying it. I said, my man, I said, is it easy like that? Is that the way it is? Because in my mind before, I thought, it would be so... Listen. By the time you begin to relate with people that have acclimatized on that level, the next thing that's going to happen is that a supernatural force comes from somewhere and launches you forward and places you there. Are you what I'm talking about now? Yes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You don't have to be wise initially. Just walk with wise men. Associate with them. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let's move on because of time. How many have I given you now? 5. Okay. Let's look at two more. Two more and then we'll end. Number 6. Another way you expand your world is through prayer. 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 You see, one of the things that prayer does is that as you pray, when you make contact with the Holy Spirit, He gives you a picture. Every time you touch the Holy Ghost, you get a picture. The Holy Ghost speaks in pictures. He says in the book of Joel, chapter 2. Peter echoed it in Acts, chapter 2. He said, it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He says that your young men shall prophesy. But now, he went beyond, said, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'll come upon my handmaidens and they will prophesy. When the Holy Ghost is communicating, one of the things he does is that he shows you pictures. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Sometimes you're praying and then pictures that come to your heart, thoughts that come to your mind, you think they're normal. The moment you leave there, those pictures disappear. Who understands what I'm talking about? Sometimes you go back again and you find the same pictures again coming back to your mind. Maybe you're praying and you see yourself in front of a crowd talking to hundreds of thousands of people and they're giving you a standing ovation. In the place of prayer, you're seeing it. And it indecises you because you're very far from it. You stand up and you touch yourself to see whether your temperature is running. Whether you're hallucinating, maybe typhoid is making you feel funny and you're seeing different things. You step out of there, you come back to your normal senses again and you're just normal. You go back to the place of prayer, you start seeing different things. You see yourself doing different things. Write those things down. The Bible says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Write those things down. It's the Holy Ghost giving you instructions. The deep calls unto the deep at the sound of thy water sprouts. You see, when you are connecting to the Holy Spirit, there are certain things that are coded in your heart that will come to the fore. I said that thing before. I was talking here one time. I said, look, have you noticed something? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. That means that particularly if you're born again, everything you will ever do, everything you will ever become, everything you will ever accomplish, all the great things that God has done, He has already invested in your spirit. If you look in your heart, you will see them. Ask the question. Let me ask again. How many of you have ever gone to a place and you know you're going there for the first time physically, but you finish and you feel like, I've been here before? You talk to somebody on the road, you see the way the person is dressed in a particular way, you shake his hand and everything. This is the first time you're meeting the person, but in your mind you're telling yourself, I've met this man before. How many has it happened to you before? They call it deja vu. It is the connection. You just made a connection then, maybe when you are praying or something, there was a connection between what is already in your heart and your mind, and you saw it playing out and you thought you had done it before. It has happened before in your spirit. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? As you're communicating with the Holy Ghost, some of those pictures that are coded inside come to the fore. They begin to come out. They begin to manifest. You see yourself acting out the thing you did in the place of your prayer. You see the Holy Ghost expanding your vision, expanding you, growing beyond. But if you close your mouth, those things remain inside your spirit and they are trapped, they are coded, and they won't come to pass. In the place of prayer, you can actually begin to call forth as you're speaking in tongues. You're making connections, making contacts. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? When a man is praying in tongues, he doesn't know what he's praying for. Doesn't know what he's talking about. You're not praying in your own understanding. But sometimes as you're praying, the Holy Ghost is praying through you and making all the necessary connections and clearing all the roads. You don't know what to pray for. I usually say, for example, if you're a sister, you're a lady now, you are praying, you want to pray about marriage. What are you going to pray about? Sometimes you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're speaking in tongues. I mean, and you're speaking in your understanding. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Tony will notice me. Tony in Port Harcourt that works in Stanbic IBT, he will notice me. Oh, he will notice me. I bind all those girls around him. All those girls with the spirit of Jezebel, I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Tony will notice me. As I'm passing, he will notice me. I claim my possession. Pastor said we should name it and claim it. I name Tony and I claim him in the name of Jesus Christ. I collect him in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you speak in your own understanding. But you get filled in the Holy Ghost and you begin to speak in tongues. Kambra tala baba shandale brodo. Kebro shatala baba baba baba. Kandele brozolo lo lo lo. You're speaking in tongues and blowing in tongues like this. The Bible says when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the will of God. In your mind, you're praying for Tony, but the interpretation of your tongues is, Lord, I call forth, okay. Okay, that is seven in Zamfara. I know he doesn't have anything right now, But he is a potential and he's going somewhere to happen. And as I'm praying right now, circumstances are arranging and he's finding his way. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Prayer helps you expand your world. I'll end with this one. Another key to expanding your world is taking responsibility for others. Taking responsibility for others. Taking responsibility for others. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. This is a verse I like very much. Whenever I talk about such things, I love this verse very much. I always talk about it. Look at this. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, it says, when for the time you ought to be teachers. In other words, in the life of every believer, there is a point in time when you're supposed to be a teacher. There's a point in time when you're supposed to take responsibility for others. He said, but you get to that point in time, and because you have not been taking responsibility for others, you need some people to start teaching you all over again. And you have become people that need milk. Milk is synonymous with immaturity. Strong meat is synonymous with maturity. If you don't begin to take responsibility for others, the resources you will get are immature resources. There are certain things that God can just trust you with. He can't trust you beyond a certain level. You can't grow beyond a certain level. There are certain things you just can't do. One of the ways to grow very fast and to get all the resources that you need at any point in time is to think for other people. Take responsibility for others. When a person is thinking not just for himself, that's why you see people, sometimes men or women that are married, a new responsibility comes on them. Because now the man realizes that he just can't function the way he used to function before. He can't just go out, spend any amount of money he wants. He has to give accounts. He has a family he's preparing for. Probably the wife is pregnant. He has to take care of certain things. Responsibility comes upon him. Every time you expand your responsibility, what usually happens is that you expand your resource base. A resource pool of ideas. You get new ideas. You get new information. If I'm spiritual, if I'm more spiritual than any of you, it is not necessarily because I'm better. It is simply because I have a responsibility that has been placed on me. I can't come here on Sunday and waste your time. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? People have so many issues that they're passing through. You need to help people leave the place of their habitation and get them to their destination. So I need to talk to you about what God is saying. I need to get information that will help you move and translate you from where you are. Break that mold and scatter your limitations so that you can become a better person. Because in doing so, that's my work. That's what I'm supposed to do. But in doing so, I become a better person first. Because I can't be studying to be a blessing to you and I'm not first of all blessed. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Yes. You can't be thinking of being a blessing to other people and then you don't have ideas and resources that will help you be a blessing to them. So part of what we're going to do is this. Everybody in this church, we have designed a system that will give you an opportunity to be a blessing to people. We're starting our cell system. And we're going to be using the believer circle models to do this. The believer circle models. Now, we started having different directorates. One of the directorates is the directorate of consolidation. See, part of what this directorate of consolidation would do is to help us with our cells. Help us in arranging the cells properly and helping everybody to rise, function in their cells, and then rise to manifest the potential that God has placed in you. There's some reasons for the cell. I don't have all the time to talk about it. I spoke about it during the retreat. But you see, in the cell meetings, one of the reasons for the cell meeting is for leadership development. Usually, a cell, just like it is in a human body, is the smallest functional unit of the body. So a cell in a church is supposed to also be the smallest functional unit in the body, in the church, the body of Christ. You can have a cell, and in that cell, you can have a microcosm of every single thing that is going on in church here. And by so doing, what is going to happen is that everybody has an opportunity to manifest the potential that God has placed in them. A lot of us are going to ask questions if we don't step up and do what God has called us to do. A lot of people are going to ask. A lot of us have the impression that it's only the pastor that's supposed to preach. It's only the pastor that has ministry. That lie that has been sold everywhere. Everybody's responsibility is to sit down on the chair and give offerings. Let somebody preach. That's nonsense. Superstar ministry where the man is the one that's shining. He's the only cock that's crowing in the village. And people think that's the way forward. Everybody is loaded with potentials. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? This generation is not complete without you. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Yes. Stop looking down on yourself. Help me warn your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. I say, don't look down on me again. Don't try it again. Say, don't look down on me again. Tell the person, in fact, do you know who's talking to you now? Do you know who's talking to you? Tell the person for me, if you realize who's talking to you now, you will begin to address me from today as your excellency. Tell the person, I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. Say, I'm a victor. Of course, if you're a woman, you can say, I'm a Victoria. Whichever one you want. It's okay. You're loaded. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So the cell meeting is going to give you an opportunity to manifest these things. Now, we're going to be starting the cells immediately. We'll kick them off on Sunday. On Sunday. Next Sunday. Now, different cells will have just one meeting every week. One meeting. Just an hour, 30 minutes. It will not exceed an hour, 30 minutes. And there's what we call a cell log that we have prepared already to help. That's, each cell log is going to cover 2 months. So it's to help you to coordinate your activities properly. Even the message that the cell leaders will preach, we can even help you prepare all those things so that you won't have any problems. You won't be in a tight position. It is to enable you step up and fulfill responsibility. If you get to heaven now, Jesus Christ asks you, how many people have you touched? How many people have you been a blessing to? What are you going to tell him? Our vision over the next 2 years is to have 500 cells in Abakaliki, just Abakaliki, all the satellite churches and the headquarters church combined. 500 cells. And every church, every cell is supposed to average 10 to 15 people. 500 cells saturated everywhere. So we have people. You can be a banker, you're doing ministry. You can be a politician, you're doing ministry. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Yes. That's how it's supposed to be. Daniel was a politician, he was also a minister. Joseph was a politician, he was also a minister. Yes. So, I want us to prepare ourselves. Tell the person sitting beside you, you will not be left behind. Tell the person, everything that is loaded in you, all these potentials that God has loaded in you, all these powerful things that He has kept in you, they will manifest. Tell the person, I prophesy over you, you will be a blessing to your generation. I prophesy over you, as they are calling great men and women, the list will not be complete without your name. I speak it over you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will raise the dead. You will heal the sick. At your word, problems will dissolve left, right, and center. Tell the person for me, next time you see somebody carrying yam to a shrine, next time you see somebody carrying chicken to Alusiokija, tell the person to come back, that shrine will not solve their problems. Tell the person that you know a particular shrine, that when the person brings that yam and chicken, all those problems will be solved. What is that shrine? Tap yourself, say it's me. I'm the shrine. You are a mobile temple. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives inside you. He walks inside you. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Carry that yam and rice and eat it. And speak a word over the person. All you need is a word. He sent his word and he healed them from all their infirmities. Delivered them from all their iniquities. Are you hearing what I'm talking about now? Let's take advantage of this. So next Sunday we're starting ourselves. You can't afford to miss it. Praise the Lord.